time.
How many?
Our Pinchas Lurim Pashas Shlach Lecha.
In Toshin Samach Gimel, in 2003, shortly after Pesach, in Eretz Yisrael, the government went on strike, means all the government services went on strike. Pesach finished around Shabbos, and that Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday following Pesach, they were on strike, which includes the airport. So once again, the airport's closed for a few days. Why they picked those days, I can just imagine. Thousands and thousands of Bachrim, sun girls, in delight coming back to Eretz Yisrael after Pesach, in those the week following Pesach. They closed the airport. No flights Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday following Pesach. Friday morning, they started again flight. The airport opened again, so they sent a flight out Friday morning. There's one flight, the left Heathrow, got there just before Shabbos. But mainly the Frum people had to start leaving after Shabbos. And I remember at the time I had a cousin who came to London to catch a flight on Thursday. So he came to London and just waited till they'd open the airport again, and he stayed with us. And Moitzi Shabbos, there was a special flight put on by Mr. Moses, Zichron Livracha. He put on a jumbo jet just for all his customers. He found a jumbo jet somehow or other, and he filled up. I took his cousin to Heathrow. Moitzi Shabbos, 1 a.m. flight. And it was just, you felt like you were in Mei Yeshiva. Yungalai and Bochim, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds. And the poor fellow sitting at the side, there was this Frayid there, been sitting since Tuesday in the airport, on the chair, on the bench, on the floor. He was begging the staff at Allah, please, please let me on the plane. Sorry, this is only from Mr. Moses. All the Yungalai, the Bochim, they go first, go to Yeshiva, they should be on time. You have to keep on waiting, sitting in the airport since Tuesday. Too bad. Now, Dindunna told us on that Shabbos, the end of the strike, on Shabbos, he told us he got a phone call from one of the airlines. He didn't specify whether it was BA or whether it was Al Al. It was only those two then that flew to Eretz Yisrael. And they asked him, when we resume flights, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, etc., who's got Din Kedima? Those who are booked for the Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, the week after Pesach, do they have a din kedima to get those flights? Or do we put first those who missed the flights, were cancelled on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, they get first, and everyone gets pushed off till we manage to fit everybody in. So the first sad is, the ones who are Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, they keep their flights. Those who are pushed off, who cancelled on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, we'll fit them in when we can. It might take a week till we fit them in. Or do we push everybody off and start where we left off, or we left off on the Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday? That was the Shaila. So he answered them, he gave them a psak, but he told us what flipped through his mind in the seconds that he gave his psak were the following things. He said once, when he was a bacha in Gated Yeshiva, he ate at the Manala boarding school of Bamberger. And Friday night, Bamberger comes at the meal, he says, let me tell you a conversation I had at some point during davening with Ablaib Gurovitz. Ablaib told me that there's a shaila in the poskim, if there's a shul that extends, makes an extension, but the extension's not at the back, the extension's at the front. So the people sitting at Mizrach, who till now were at Mizrach, they're now somewhere in the middle of the shul. So they complained to the Gabba, when I bought my seat, I bought a Mizrach seat. I paid the extra price, you know, the extra leg room in the airplane, paid the extra price for Mizrach seat, for the cover that comes with Mizrach. Now you made the extension, I want you to move me forward so I'll still be Mizrach. Said the Gabba, I'm sorry, we're selling the new Mizrach seat at the Mizrach price. Your place is your place. Your place doesn't move with the Mizrach wall. Your place where you bought it then had the grosser covered of Mizrach, now doesn't. That was the Shaila that went out. So similar shaila that. Is your place where you are, Koveya, your Kavua, and your place where you are? So the Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, that's where they are. Or they're in the Mizrach. They are just Sunday, which is, comes following those who flew Wednesday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Therefore, they continue being Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Similar Shaila. Another interesting Shaila that you had to do with this same Shaila, with a little bit of history, for those who remember, in Gates of Yeshiva, your generation, there were no baths or showers in the Yeshiva. And when one needed to shower or bath, they would go to the bathhouse. My father tells me he remembers going to Newcastle to the bathhouse every Friday, and they would have a bath there in the Newcastle. So the Adonna said, told us that those, most of the Bochim went to Newcastle, paid the 1.5p, and had a hot bath for Shabbos. There were those masmidim, the big masmidim, who would go to the one on Coatsworth Road, and there, he said, they would have a bath, but the service wouldn't be so great. It would either be too hot, or be too cold. More often than not, they just got in, and the attendant would take out all the water. And but he saved a few minutes traveling to Newcastle. One day, a gevir came and donated to the yeshiva two baths. So from now on, the yeshiva had two baths. However, to heat up water costs money. So they put in a slot machine, you put in your penny, and the water heats up, and you can have your bath. However, it took an hour and a half to boil up enough water per bath. So there were two lists, two pieces of paper that went up every Thursday night. At the back of the base medrash, at the wall, at the door. Bath A, bath B. 8 p.m. Thursday, 9:30, 11, 12:30, and went straight through from 8 p.m. Thursday through till Shabbos. And you'd put your name down on the one that you wanted. Bath 1, bath 2, you put your name down at the slot that you wanted through the night Thursday, and everyone would have an hour and a half slot, take an hour and a half to heat up, then obviously you have an hour and a half in the bath, up to an hour and a half in the bath, till the next one was ready to come. Now one day, one of the boilers in the bath broke down. And by the time they called out the person to come and fix it, it was sometime Friday morning until it was fixed. So the Shaila came to the Manal, then what do we do? Same Shaila. Those who've been on the list from 8 p.m. the night before, do we start there? Or do we start where we're up to? And those who lost it, will have to go find themselves somewhere in Newcastle on Coatsworth Road. Same sort of Shaila. Do you give a din kadima to those who are early on the list? Or do you give first din kadima to those who are kavua for now and it's fixed? Exactly the same Shaila as the airplane. Anyway, coming back to Bambaga, so he said Friday night, he said at the, so Blaib Gurovitz told over Bambaga, and Bambaga said this over the Friday night meal, that by the Shaila of the Mizrachvant, he has a Achra from this week's Parsha. He has a Achra. The Pasuk says, Moshe called Hoshea Yehoshua. Vayikra Moshe lo Hoshea benun Yehoshua. So he asked, Hoshea till now had been the Mizrach. He'd been the first letter of the word. He'd been the beginning of the name, the Mizrach. His initial was Hey. Hey, whatever his surname was. Now, comes along the Yud, and jumps in the Mizrach, and we don't find the Hey complaint. We don't find this Hey complaint. So we see that wherever your Mokim is your Mokim. And if someone comes before, there's an extension, and someone extends, it's too bad, you stay where you are. That was his achra from Blaib Gurovitz. So he would pass him by the Shaila Pidus Pasuk. He would pass him on if it's halacha lemaisa or just drush, that the person who's got the Mizrach seat till now stays there. And if he wants to buy a new Mizrach seat, he can pay again for another seat. Good, good. We're coming. So the Rebbetzin Bamberger asked at the meal, My husband, I have a kasha on a Blaib. The kasha is, as Rashi says, and the Choshen Gaman said to you, Ko Yoshiacha Me'atzos Meraglim. There was a reason why there was this order of the Yud and the Hay. Dainu La'olam, I'll tell you, the Hay would have complained. I should stay first. But here was a special reason why I had to be there. So because they've gotten a raya to the case of the Mizrach of the Shul. In the Shul, there's no reason why someone else should be the Mizrach. Let him continue being Mizrach. But here there was a reason why the Yud had to be in front of the Hay to make the Ko. And that's why the Hay didn't complain. So, being a good husband, he went back to Blaib, and he told Blaib this kasha from his wife. And he said, tell your wife the answer, the following answer. She's right, that the Hay did not have what to complain, because there was a reason why he had to be second because of the cup. But there's a Vav. The Vav was second to the front. There's also covered in being second to Mizrach, better than at the back. At the back, you only get Mizrach once a week at Bo'i V'Sholem. The second to the Mizrach, you're second to the Mizrach the whole week. And since the Vav didn't complain, you see that where your Mokim is, you're Kavor in that Mokim. So coming back to this, to the Shail of the aeroplane, so the Aydana said his Achra, the Psak Lemaisa was, he says, it goes like this, it depends. Why are you in the place where you are? If the reason why you're in your place is you wanted to be first, and everyone wanted to be first. We can't all be first. So someone managed to get there first, you managed to get there number two, number three, number four. Then if something gets pushed off, the whole list gets pushed off together. Because really everyone wanted to be first. Just some people came second, third and fourth. Therefore whoever was first stays first, whoever second stays second. Whereas when the reason why you're in your place is because you chose that place. For example, when you book a flight, normally you choose which day you want to fly. You don't phone up their airline and say, I want to get first. And someone else calls a bit later, so you get second. That's not how it goes. You call your date and your time that you want, and that's where you're put. If so, you've got a kvias on that mokum that you wanted. Because it's not your first or second, third, so we push off the whole list. You chose to be on Sunday. Yana's bad muzzle that he got on the Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Although it doesn't go like that, although at least those days, I remember the days before the EasyJet, where you phoned up the travel agent and said, sorry, that one's full, that one's full, that one's full, we'll stick you on next. So normally after Ben Azmani, that was always the case. But b'derech klal in airlines, you choose the day you want to go, and therefore you got kvias in that place. Therefore that Sunday, Monday, Tuesday they had first, and those who got cancelled Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, they got second. Some 15 years ago, I heard from Rabbi Elia Baruch Finkel Zatzal in Shalashudas in Yeshiva, in Me Yeshiva, on the first Rashi, Shlach lecha anoshim, lo manis b'cha Parshas Meraglim leParshas Miriam. Why is Parshas Meraglim next to Parshas Miriam? And so Rashi says, the fishalok sal iske dibo shedibro be'acheho ba'achiho, she got punished with tzuras for speaking Lashon Hara against her brother. Rishoyim alolu, these Rishoyim, these Meraglim, they saw what happened to Miriam. Miriam said Lashon Hara on her brother. Miriam got tzaras immediately. They didn't take Musa. They saw what happened and they didn't take Musa, and they went ahead and said Lashon Hara on Eretz Yisrael. So you asked the Kasha. Shtarka Kasha. The Gemara in Erechin, Daf Tes Vav Amud Aleph, says, I want to describe to you how bad Lashon Hara is. Says the Gemara, if already the Meraglim who spoke about Eretz Yisrael. What is Eretz Yisrael? Eitzim v'avonim. Stones and wood. Nevertheless, they got punished for speaking Lashon Hara, speaking bad about Eretz Yisrael. Alachas kama v'kama. When someone speaks bad about a person, who, the person has feelings and it hurts. Kol shekein, how bad it is and how you get punished and how bad Lashon Hara is. That's the kavul chayma of the Gemara. Madach Meraglim spoke about Itzim Va'avonim, they got punished. Kol Shekein, you speak about a person, Lashon about a person, you're going to get punished, and it's a bad Lashon Hara. If so, Frek Zabali Baruch Finkel, what was the Taina against the Meraglim? The Meraglim saw how Miriam spoke Lashon Hara against the Noisen HaTorah, against the one who took them out of Mitzrayim, against Moshe Rabbeinu. So, if they would see a parallel, they would learn, okay, we don't speak Lashon Hara against people, special people, maybe even any person who has feelings. But against Eitzim Vavonim, who said that's an Avera? How do I see from Miriam speaking Lashon Hara against Moshe Rabbeinu that you're not allowed to speak Lashon Hara against Eitzim Vavonim? You see the Gemara says it's more severe to speak Lashon Hara against the person than to speak about Eitzim Vavonim. So just because they see Miriam speaking Lashon Hara against a person, there's no raya to see from there that you also to speak Lashon Hara against Eitzim Vavonim. So what was their bad thing? So he answered from the Svas Emes. Alpi Nusach HaRambam. By the Pasuk, by Moshe Rabbeinu, the end of last week's parasha, after Miriam spoke against Moshe, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says something about Moshe. Va'ish, and B'yod Beis Pasuk Gimel, Va'ish Moshe, Onov Mo'oid Mikoila Odom Asher Al Pnei Adama. And the Lashon HaRambam, when he describes Moshe Rabbeinu, you know what he says? Moshe Rabbeinu was such an onov, he felt himself like Eitzim Vavonim. He said, all I am, a piece of wood. That's all I feel like, a piece of wood, a stone. I don't feel myself as something mechubet. I'm an onov. He was such an onov, he felt like stone. Oy bazei, the kavachem is gewaldig. The role of Leilach Chumus is gewaldig. By a normal person, you have the kavachem of the Gemara. The Gemara says, Madoch, they spoke about Eitzim Vavonim, Miraglim. Kosh, can you speak about a person? But Moshe Rabbeinu, he held himself like Eitzim Vavonim. He held himself like a nothing. He is such an honor. Mikol Adam. So Ro, they saw Miriam speak about Moshe Rabbeinu Lashon Hara, which was speaking against Eitzim Vavonim, because the reason why a person is more chomor to speak bad about him is because he has feelings. Moshe Rabbeinu, you speak bad about me, I couldn't care two hoots. They spoke against him, it was like speaking against Eitzim Vavonim. Ro, v'loilok chumusa, not to speak about Eitzim Vavonim, about Eretz Yisrael. I had that question too. The pasuk finishes off, Moshe was on a mikol adam. It sounds sort of like Rabbi Nishim is giving a racha kodesh type of thing that only Rabbi Nishim can see was such an onov. I guess to some darga she saw that. It wasn't speaking against a normal person with a normal level of feelings, but I don't think she felt all the way that he was completely like Eitzim Vavonim. Yeah, that's a bit Latin on this word. In Pasuk Gimel, move on to Pasuk Gimel. The Pasuk says, Kulam Anoshim, Rashi Bnei Yisrael Hema, speaking about to introduce the list of the Miraglim. Rashi says, a famous Rashi, Kol Anoshim Shebemirka, Lashon Chashivas. Whenever we say Lashon Anoshim, it means Chashivas. Va'isa Shah, Kisherim Hayu. And at that time, before they left, they were Kisherim. The big problem is, the famous Kasha is, in Pasuk Chavov, the Pasuk says, Vayelchu vayavoyu al Moshe al Aaron v'kol adas bnei Yisrael, etc. Rashi says Vayelchu vayavoyu. They went and they came. Ma vayelchu? They went. We know they went. Lahakish, to make a hakish alichosan v'yosan, to when they went, to when they came back. Ma v'yosan, to like when they came back from Eretz Yisrael to meet the Yidden. Beitza ra'al, af alichosan beitza ra'al. Even when they left, it was beitza ra'al. So the kasha is, how does that stem with Pasuk Gimel, where it says that at the beginning, Oysa Shah, when they left, Kshem Hayu, they Kshem. And but later in Pasuk Chavav, Rashi says that Eve Af Halichosam, when they left, Beit Zorah was Beit Zorah. If they went with Eit Zorah, it doesn't sound like they're Kshem. If they're Kshem, they wouldn't go with Eit Zorah, it's a bit less dira. So Chaim Kaufman answered to us, Apir Gemara Kedushin Daf Mem Amud Aleph. The Gemara Kedushin says, when a person has a bad machshava, an intention to do an Avera, but he doesn't carry out the Avera, he does not get punished. Rabbi Hashem doesn't reckon a bad machshava if he doesn't carry out the Avera. However, if a person carries out the Avera, then he gets punished even for the bad machshava. Oy bazoi, Rashi fits in kafta v'ferach. The beginning before they left, Rashi speaking before they left, kulam anoshim, oysa shok, shem hoyu. They had a bad machshava. But the Bonisham doesn't count in, doesn't punish a person for bad machshava if he hasn't yet done it lapoil, hasn't yet done the avera. But when they came back, they've done the avera, they've spoken the Lashon Hara against Eretz Yisrael, then the Pasuk says, or Rashi says, Mabiyosan Beitzerah, Falichosan Beitzerah, now Hashem reckons the Eitzerah that they left with and they get punished for that as well. As the Gemara says, when the person has machshava alone, a bad machshava, they don't get punished. Rabbi Hashem doesn't reckon that. But when they do the bad thing, then they get punished also for the bad machshava. So that's when they left at the beginning of the parasha, they're ksherim. When time they came back, the machshava, bad machshava they had then, is counted in. In Pasuk Lamed Beis, we move on. In Pasuk Lamed Beis, Vayetziu dibas ha'aretz asher Torah oisal bnei Yisrael lemor. The land of Israel eats up its inhabitants. What does it mean, eats up its inhabitants? It says Rashi, every place that we pass, we found them burying dead people. Every single place we went to, there's always levayas going on. Bereshim did it l'toyva, so they'd be so busy burying their dead, they wouldn't have time to find these spies. So they came telling Ertecheles Yisrael, this terrible country, people dying all the time. And really, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did a trick. He wanted them to be, the people in Yisrael, to be so busy burying the dead people that they wouldn't notice the miraculim. So that's a tie on them. They said Lashon Hara, they said bad about Eretz Yisrael, that people are always dying. Frek the Kileyoko. What's the taina against the Meraglim? They're just saying the truth. Wherever they went, they saw people dying. How are they supposed to know this is a cheshmen of the Ribbono Shel Olam? The Boshem makes this trick. How are they supposed to know? They come there, people are dying. They just said it with the truth. What's the taina? What did they do so wrong? So Yitzchok Ezrachi, one of the Rashi Shiva and me, I heard him said in the Shalashudas once, he told us the following terrors. So if you look in Parshas Masseh, right at the beginning of Parshas Masseh, Perek Lama Gimel Pasuk Dalet, the Pasuk says, U'mitzrayim mekabrim esa shehika Hashem bohem kol b'chor. The Mitzrayim were busy burying their dead, all the b'chorim that Hashem hit, that Hashem killed them, l'makas b'chor, so the next morning, they're busy burying their dead, U'mitzrayim mekabrim. Zog Drashi, what's the Pasuk telling us, U'mitzrayim mekabrim? Says Rashi, Trudim be'evlom. They were busy with their evlom. Which sounds exactly the same as our Rashi. HaKadosh Baruch Hu osa l'toyva kidei l'tardom be'evlom. To keep them busy with burying the dead. Said Yitzchok Ezrachi. When Mitzrayim were burying their dead, if they wouldn't have been doing it, and Sisachom speaks out, Pshat and Rashi and Masei, if they wouldn't have been busy burying their dead the morning after Max Bechayas, they would have stopped the Yidden leaving. They wouldn't have let the Yidden leave Mitzrayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a ness that they'd be so busy burying the dead, the Yidden will just leave. So already when they left Mitzrayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did a ness, this trick, to keep them busy burying the dead, so that they won't be noticed and they'll be able to leave. That's the taina on the miraculum. You know this trick already, you've had this, you've experienced it. Balt, coming in a second. This trick, the miraculum, you know this. It happened not too long ago when you left Mitzrayim. As Rashi said, through the Me'avlam, if they wouldn't have been busy burying the dead, they wouldn't have let them go. So it was there, you should have realized that's the taina. Eretz Yecheles Yishver, it's eating up its people, there's always people dying. You should have known it's a trick from HaKadosh Baruch Hu because you've experienced it already once before. Is the Kasha, we all know, Paro in the middle of the night, as you know from the children, Paro in pajamas in the middle of the night, he said, get out of here. Klal Yisrael, leave. So what's this Rashi telling us in Parshas Masseh? So Chachamim explains, Trudim be'evlom, they wouldn't have let Klal Yisrael out if they wouldn't have been busy burying their dead. As we hear the Kasha, that they would have, that Paris said, please get out of here. So I once bumped into Rav Moshe Arieli when he was on the way to Shalom Zachem on Friday night, Rechov Sirotskin, and I asked him this question. And he told me on the spot, he thought of a teretz. Can argue on it, but he said the following teretz. He said, I'll tell you a maisa. So somebody once came to Rosh Hashanah, and Rosh Hashanah, we had a Kabbalah's call, some of this fellow came to him and said, Rosh Hashanah, I don't know what to tell you. I've just done a gefer chavira. Now, Boshra Eli didn't tell me what it is, so I can't tell you. He'd just done a gefer chavira, a terrible avira. And I realized, I've just done this avira, and I need to do a tikkun. And I want to suggest that really for a tikkun I should take on, and he started listing a whole list. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, huge tikkunim. Because it's such a bad avera. Rav Shach told him, let me think about it, come back to me tomorrow. So he came back the next day to Rav Shach, and he told Rav Shach, do you know, I was also thinking about it, and I realized I was a bit honest. It wasn't really so bad. Something pushed me into doing it. It wasn't so bad. And all these tikkunim also are not so practical. And I don't think I'm going to be able to keep them. Maybe I should water down something. And he left off with almost nothing there. So Shach explained later that at the time when the person has this iris, he's all in a big high, and he can think he can take on loads of things, and he thinks everything's so serious. But then by time it's the next morning, he's forgotten about it already. He's lost this iris. So Moshe Eli said to me the same thing. Moshe Rabbeinu in the middle of the night, he said, get out! The Bechorim are dying now. By the time it came the next morning, they're all dead. Everything calmed down already. It was just the Levayas, but everyone died already. It stopped. He would already stop Klal Yisrael leaving if not for being busy burying the dead. That was his teretz, Avosha's teretz. We'll say another vort. Move on to the end of the parasha. The end of the parasha by the Mekosha Sheitzim. Who was this Mekosha Sheitzim? The Gemara speaks about who this Mekosha Sheitzim was. One of the Peshatim was, it was Tzlochot. It was Tzlochot. And that's why he died. And his daughters asked about the Yerusha. Because the daughters, they didn't have a father, so he died. He was the Mekosha Sheitzim who died. Why did he do it? Why did he pick up the Eitzim? The Gemara explains. He meant it l'shem Shemaim. He wanted to teach Klal Yisrael how serious it is to do an Aveira. He wanted to be the guinea pig, so to say, and show Klal Yisrael, you do an Aveira, it's serious, you will get killed. Why he wanted to do it, I don't know. That's what he chose to do. Was it the right thing? It wasn't the right thing. Can we understand it? We can't understand. But to some dak shebadak, it was some level, some slight level, it was something wrong there, it was a pigam. It was something wrong. He shouldn't have done it. Even if he wanted to teach Klal Yisrael the seriousness, he shouldn't have done it. It was epis pigam in Shabbos. The Gemara brings a maisa, Gemara in Shabbos brings a maisa, a famous maisa. There was a chosid. In the definition of chazal, means someone who goes lifnim mishur sadin. A chosid is someone who goes lifnim mishur sadin. There's this chosid is walking along his orchard on Shabbos, going for a stroll. He must have had nice weather in the summer. And he's going for a stroll, and he noticed a hole in the fence. In the fence, there was a hole, and he was scared the fox could come in. Ganovim could come in through the fence, the hole in the fence, and eat, the animals could come and eat up his fruit. So he thought to himself, yeah, after Shabbos, I need to come repair this fence. But then he realized, true the halacha is, l'dabe dover, you mustn't speak about doing your things in the week, but you're allowed to be mahari, you're allowed to think. The halacha is, you're allowed to think about things in the week, but I'm a chosid. And a chosid goes, lifnim mishur sadin. And if the din is not to speak, the lifnim mishur sadin is not even to think about doing malachas. So he caught himself, I've just thought about doing a malacha on Shabbos, and I'm a chosid, therefore I take that as doing something wrong. And therefore he's makabel. So to mekabel for this chet, this level of chet, for lifnim mishur sadin chet, I'm mekabel never to fix this fence. And whatever happens, loss comes from it, that's the tikkun I get for doing this. And the Gemara Bonesha made a nes, a plant grew in that hole of the fence, the plant grew, and it was such a strong plant that it blocked up the fence, much stronger than it would have been if it was just a fence would have been there, and also it produced fruit. And the fruit, he sold it and made loads of money. And the name of the plant was a tzlaf. There was one tzlaf. Tzlaf echod, or another gerisa somewhere, tzlaf chad. You don't need to be a godel or genius to work out that this man was a gilgal of tzlaf chad. Tzlaf chad, to some slight level, was epesapagam in Shabbos. And that's why he got killed for being mekoshesh eitzim. Many generations later, this chosid was epesamisirus nefesh for Shabbos, epesahidu in Shabbos. And tzlaf chad, Rabbi Shem showed it by producing a tzlaf chad, one tzlaf. One little kasha I'll end off with, for say a maisa. Little kasha, I'm not going to give you the teretz, I'll leave it for you. All the children, all of us from when we were children, for me it's going back just a short while, for some of you a long while, we know that tzitzis, we come from tzitzis as ramas for the tarag mitzvahs. How do we get to Taryag? Because tzitzis is a gematria, 600. Yud Gimel is the 8 strings with the 5 knots. However, there's a little problem with this gematria. Now, normally one out, we don't mind. You can do koilal. But here there's a larger problem. Every time the pasuk says tzitzis, it's tzadik yud, tzadik tzof. Tzadik tzof. Which comes to 590. 590, not 600. If there's a second yud after the second tzadik, there would be 600. But there isn't. It's not there. Now it's 3 times the Pasuk says tzitzis. In Pasuk Lamed Ches, also lahem tzitzis. V'hoyo lachem tzitzis. And there's one more before. V'nosnu ha tzitzis. And each time, it comes without the second yud. Every single one has only got one yod, which comes to 590, so we're 10 out. So Tosfos has a kasha, Moral gives tirutzim, there's many tirutzim, but I'll leave that as a kasha, something to try and think about. Ask the children when they come. I mean, imagine the children ask us what we're going to do. I'll tell you a maisa. We began near the beginning about the the chet of Miriam. Miriam said a chet, did a chet, spoke Lashon Hara against Moshe Rabbeinu, and she got punished. She got mitzras straight away. And we know at the time of the Beis HaMikdash, a yid would speak Lashon Hara, he would get tziras. Nowadays, when we speak Lashon Hara, if Rachman Islam, we do speak Lashon Hara, we don't get tziras. Are we bigger tzaddikim? Maybe we don't speak Lashon Hara, or bigger tzaddikim than them? Now, of course, the Welt. Now, those days, they were such big tzaddikim, the Rebbeinu Shlom gave them such personal, quick attention. You speak Lashon Hara, you get your tziras. You sit, contemplate for a week in Duchava, it comes off. It took you a bit longer, it comes off a bit later. It worked so clear because they were such high tzaddikim. We are not on that level. Therefore, we don't have the zchus of the tziras to us. However, sometimes, even in this generation, and even in this city, one does get the message immediately, and the message gets removed once the person is mesaken mechet. And I'll tell you a maisa. Reb Leib Friedman's the mechaber of Sefer Vayevk Yosef, all about the mechiras Yosef. He's also mechaber of Sefer Tzikas HaTzadik. Shem Chaim Kaufman explained to us once, is a Sefer about machlekas, how to write the letter Tzadik between the Chazon Ish and Reb Leib Friedman, backwards and forwards. Whole correspondence. They printed it in a sefer called it Tzidkas HaTzadik, how to write the letter Tzadik in a sefer Torah. Machlekes Chazon Ish with Reb Leib Friedman. There's also another famous machlekes in Hashkofa between the Chazon Ish and this Reb Leib Friedman, whether a person's emunah, if emunah is mechuyev to think the Rebbeinu Shlom will help or the Rebbeinu Shlom can help. Whereas in Yiddish, Rebbeinu Shlom can helpen, Rebbeinu Shlom vet helpen. Machlekes, what is the person's avoda? Anyway, coming back to our story, he once visited Manchester. And he came into Manchester Yeshiva. Going back some time, obviously. And he saw one of the Bachrim was sitting with his back to the Aron HaKodesh. Sitting with his back to the Aron HaKodesh, as Chavrusas do, they sit opposite. So even though the tables face the Aron HaKodesh, but he sat on the opposite side, so they could face his Chavrusa. And where he was sitting was in line with the Aron HaKodesh. He wasn't on the side, just where the Aron HaKodesh is. And Reb Leib Friedman went over to that bacha and said, let me tell you, Mishoyah Mishnah Berurah. Mishnah Berurah in the end of Simon Kuf Nun, Chelik Beis says, one may not sit with his back to the Aron HaKodesh b'kvias. The Mishnah Berurah in the Sha'atzin asks, how do we allow people to give a drasha when they're back to the Aron HaKodesh? It's not bikvias. You come, give a drasha, and you go off. It's not so bad. But sitting down, bikvias, for a seder, sitting learning, that's not allowed. It's Loshen Mishnah Berurah is a gnai, and it's not allowed. He says also, if it's during davening, there's an issa, because the person at the bima is going to say baruchu, bows down to baruchu, looks like he's bowing down to the person sitting here. So it's an issa, more than just a gnai. But even when there's no baruchu, bowing down, it's still a gnai, says Mishnah Berurah. One shouldn't sit with the back to the Aron HaKodesh. So he went over to this bacha. Leib Friedman told him, don't sit next to with your back to Aron HaKodesh. It's not allowed. Mishnah Berurah doesn't let. So he moved over. Just moved, slightly moved his seat and didn't sit there anymore. The bacha reported he'd been having back pain. And when he moved seat, the back pain went away. He never knew why he's having back pain. He never knew this halacha. But he noticed when he moved seat, his back pain went away. Now take this one step further. Just one step further. There's a younger man here. Not in this room. A younger man here, locally. He learns in Chodosh every morning. For many years. He learns in the Chabura of Reb Chaim Motchetzan. So in the back left room of Chodosh. And those who know Chodosh, not only there's a big Aron HaKodesh in the main base of Medrash, but the two back rooms, there's also a little Aron HaKodesh in each one. Now for many years, learning Chodosh and Mishpat, he's been sitting next to Reb Chaim Motcha, the bench next to him, just they both got aisle seats. Not too long ago, a few months ago, he moved seats. Why he moved seats, I don't know. I tried to catch him, he's just gone to Yitzchak for Inukal, he had an Inukal just now. So he's not here. He moved seats, and he moved to his back to the Aron HaKodesh. There's a small room, his chavrusa sat facing the Aron HaKodesh, and he sat with his back to the Aron HaKodesh. He wasn't aware of this halacha, or hadn't Remember this halacha. Last week, the beginning of last week, he was learning this halacha, Simon Kufnun, and he came across this halacha, one may not sit with his back to the Aron HaKodesh. And he moved seats. He all he had to do was move one seat across. It's a small Aron HaKodesh, the same table, he just moved one seat. He'd been having back problems for a few months. Last week, the beginning of the week, when he moved over, his back pain went less and less and less. By the end of last week, there was no back pain, it was gone. You come afterwards, and it's not on tape, I'll tell you who it is. It's not a secret. The Baruch Hashem not only in those days gave tzaras to the Eden, today also some people are zeicher to this as well. To open up our eyes, we don't know, but it happens. We feel the Ribbono Shel Olam. Ribbono Shel Olam is with us, not only in Eretz, here as well, here in this local, this street. Ribbono Shel Olam sends a message, I'll give you a message, you're doing something wrong, I'll take it away, we're doing something better. Mo'on zeicher zan, Ribbono Shel Olam shall bring Moshiach Tzadkeinu, Meher Ve'emeinu, Amen. Because I'm